open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. I apologize if I didn't tell you ahead of time. And I want to share with you this morning something on my heart. I've been thinking and meditating and praying through the week. We are dealing with the words written in red. This will be, our third or fourth message. And so I told you when I started, it takes a long time to go through this because some of these I'll deal with a couple of times. Here's the account of our Lord. And you remember that when the first message I brought to you, I talked to you about the experience of His temptation. Then I talked to you about the example of His temptation. And that Sunday morning, I had to kind of cut it a little short. But then I brought a message on the escape from temptation a little bit later. And so now I want to come back this morning, just to feel like that there's so much in here, I won't be able to cover it all. But I want to read this again, the words of Jesus written in red in His own words. And look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, He was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to Him, He said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And He answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh Him up into the holy city, and setteth Him on the pinnacle of the temple. And He said unto Him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give His angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. And Jesus answered him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And again the devil taketh Him up into exceeding high mountain, and showed Him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. And He said unto Him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship Me. Then said Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. And Mark says that he left him for a little season, just a little bit of a respite right there. The Holy Spirit and the angels came to minister to him. But for the rest of his life in this world, some 3 years, he would daily, like you do, battle the world, the flesh, and the devil. And the devil's going to be your enemy. And the Bible said the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Interesting thing about that word, that text, he walketh about seeking whom he may devour. It has this idea. It is the idea of not a stroll, but a stalk. He is stalking you. He has intended to trip you up. He has intended to defile you. He would love to damn you to hell for all eternity by deceiving you with religion. But it's not a casual everyday stroll. It is a stalk. He is walking. He is stalking us day by day. One of the sights we saw out there while we were riding, there were some, I think, deer or something. And just off to the side, there was a big coyote or a wolf. And you could tell, you've seen cats do it. You've seen other dogs do it. This coyote was doing it. He was some distance away from those deer, but he was creeping real slow. Just hardly could tell he was moving. He'd take one step at a time and he'd freeze. One step. Well, that's what it's talking about, the devil. He's relentless. He's stalking you. He doesn't relax. He's always after us. But now I have dealt with this thing. This morning, I want to deal particularly with the reply to his temptations. Will you bow with me for prayer? Heavenly Father, I pray God the Holy Ghost now would empower us. God, all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Our Father, I know that I could have a message with no power, but God, I could never have the power of God without a message. And I pray God the Holy Ghost would empower this morning. Touch me physically. I pray, God, You'd make it easy for people to hear. And God, I pray the Holy Ghost of God to speak to their heart. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for Your mercy and grace. Thank you for souls that have been saved. We ask your blessing on Brother Jimmy. I pray, God, you'd bless him that Brother Danny shared the testimony about the one that he witnessed to that got saved. And I pray, God, the Holy Ghost would help all of us to be a good witness. And I pray, God, that you'd minister this morning to your people. And Lord, if there's a lost man, a woman, boy, or girl in this building, I pray they'd be saved. And we'll thank you and praise you and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Just quickly this morning, I'm not going to hold you long. I want to just share this with you in regard to the three replies of our Lord. And when I talk to you about the example of his suffering, of his temptation, I made reference to this fact that he knew everything. Jesus Christ, he is omniscient. He is God incarnate in human flesh. And if anybody could have debated Satan, if anybody could have outwitted Satan, it would be the Lord. He knows everything. And he's God incarnate in human flesh. If it was a matter of overcoming him, he has unlimited power. He could have overcome him. But in his example to me and you, he taught us that the one weapon that we can use against Satan is not our experience. It is not our righteous living. It is the living Word of God. It is the sword of the Spirit. And so he answers the devil with the Word of God. And he is our example. And you and I understand that the Word of God is our weapon. It molds us and makes us. It's able to divide asunder the joints and the marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And it is quick and powerful. Now, it means it's alive. Word quick means alive. It is alive and powerful. Now, I want you to notice these three responses just briefly, and I'll share this with you this morning. And you remember I talked to you about the Word of God says that you and I are tempted in several different areas. And we are tempted with the lust of the flesh, with the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And in these three temptations, Satan approaches him in every way. He says to him, change these stones in the bread, the lust of the flesh. He's hungry. Now, he's the Son of God. He created everything there is, but he's hungry. The Bible says he's hungry. He had, when you study in Bible Institute and in theological class you go to, you'll learn that Jesus had what's called the sinless infirmities of the flesh. He had no sin, but yet he could become tired. The God eternal and Jesus, when he was in heaven, God doesn't ever get tired. He doesn't ever get weary. But in the human body, Jesus Christ became weary with his journey. In heaven, there's no pain, of course, to anybody who's in heaven. But the Lord Jesus Christ, as God, experienced pain. He experienced hunger. He experienced sadness. He experienced loneliness. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And so he was hungry. He literally was hungry. It'd been no problem for him to speak and that stone become bread. But it's the lust of the flesh. And Satan's dealing with him in that regard. Now, let me just make a couple of observations about that statement. I want you to notice what he said in that response to that first temptation. And he said this, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, if you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 8, and I want us just to briefly make mention of this, Deuteronomy chapter 8, I want to read you a little bit of the context of that statement about what he was talking about. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, I'll just call your attention to a few verses. Let me read verses 1 down through verse 3. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land. Now understand, this is the subject of what God's saying to Israel. He said, what I'm fixing to say to you and my commandments are not to restrict you from having any fun. God's guidelines for living, his commandments, are not to keep us from having fun. Some people say, I don't want to be a Christian. You can't have any fun. Praise God. If I had more fun, I'd have to be committed somewhere. I have a time. But now watch. He said, the reason I give you commands is several things here. He said, first of all, that you can live. Nothing wrong with living. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. People say, I don't want to be a Christian. Why, he said, outside of me, there's no life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I mean, you come to know Christ, you get life. But not only just life, to live eternal life, but he gives you abundant life. And he said, my commands are so you can have life. And then he said this, that you might multiply, that you might be blessed. Multiply physically, that they would have children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. Also, that they would be prosperous. And then, notice this, and that you might go in and possess the land which the Lord sware. He said to be benefited by the promises of God and to become heirs of all the promises of God. He said, I've given you my word, my commandment. And so that's what the word of God's all about. But notice verse 2. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Now, what did he do with them? He led them. They would not go into Kadesh Barnea. God caused them to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. But he said he did that, why? To humble them, notice, to humble thee and to prove thee and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and he fed thee with manna. That's angel's food. Anybody here ever eaten any manna? I've never eaten manna. I ate Vienna sausages last night about 9:30. That's close as I've been to manna. And Bobby gave me a little thing right a while ago to Bojangles. They don't have any Bojangles in Wyoming and nowhere between here and there. Baked Bojangles. But at 7:30 this morning, I was at Bojangles, me and my dog. But thank God, I've never had any manna. You've never had any manna. And here's a group of rebellious people that God humbled them. He brought them to the place that they conceived this, they humbled them, that they'd understand that every mouthful of food they got came from him. They got to where the place they didn't recognize that. And we forget how good God's been to us. He put them to where they had nothing and then sent down angels' food from heaven. And so they'd understand his provision. But now it goes further than that. And he said, I humble thee and I fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee to know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Here's what he wanted them to understand. He wanted them to understand that not only is God our source for physical need, he's our only source for spiritual need. And three quick observations. Number one, he wants them to understand the more important of the two is spiritual. It's the spiritual word of God that's more important to us than physical food. Now, most of us don't realize that. You say, well, I'm not addicted to food or this, that, that. I'd encourage you to try to fast 3 days. You've never seen so many advertisements about food in all your life. You may hate with a passion McDonald's, but after about 2 days of fasting, when they show that Big Mac, you'd give your car for that. But when he humbled them to understand this, the difference between the physical and the spiritual. And he said, I humbled you. So you know this, that man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The word of God is essential to you as much as your daily food. And if you eat 3 times a day, you'll at least have 3 times a day when you feed on the word of God. The word of God is essential. You must have the word of God. But then not only the priority of the word of God, but I want you to note here the presenting of the word of God. He said, I've caused you to hunger, but then I fed you. And can I tell you that God will show you and provide for you the word of God. He'll give it to you. You say, Brother Bill, I can't understand the Bible. But if you'll seek it, if you'll read the word of God, God will show you something. Quick, let me say this. Not only that, but the procedure for receiving it. He said, I fed you with manna from heaven. God rained down manna from heaven. It fell all around them. But then he gave them instructions. He said, when the manna comes down, you go out and gather it up, enough for your family, and you take it and you eat it. And then, of course, on the day before the Sabbath, you gather 2 days. You don't hoard it. You just get enough for that day, day by day. And you put up, God sent it from heaven. But they had to go pick it up. They had to go out daily and gather it. You say, God, I want to know the Bible. Do you read the Bible? Do you study the Bible? It's right here in front of you. God's already rained it down from heaven. This is the Word of God. It's the infallible God, a Word of God from cover to cover. But there's procedure for partaking of it. They had to go out every day and get that manna. It was miraculous. It was amazing. And God rained it down in heaven, but they had to go every day and get it. And what they gathered today was not sufficient for tomorrow. They had to go out the next day and get it. And so he's teaching them a principle. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by the Word of God, every Word of God. And he said, you're to gather it, you're to do it daily. You ought to spend time in the Word of God every day, seeking His face and praying. That's a simple instruction, isn't it? But how many of us really do that? How many of you, this in the radio audience or here or in the media audience, how much time do you spend in the Word of God every day? It is essential. It is absolutely essential for your life, for your joy, for your blessing on your life. You've got to have the Word of God. But quickly, let me share this other with you. What's his second response? His second response was this. He mentions this to us. The devil has told him to go up and cast himself down. The angels will catch him. In verse 7, it says this, and Jesus answered, it is written, again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Now, let me remind you of this. There are two words in the Bible that speak of temptation. One is a solicitation to do evil. That is that you try to, the devil tries to get you to sin. But remind you what James said. He said in the book of James, let no man say when he's tempted that he's tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. And so this context is not a temptation for Jesus to sin. He's trying to get Jesus to do something. What is it? What is he trying to get Jesus to do? Well, it's simply this. He wants Jesus to have this attitude. God, prove that you're God and I'll trust you. Prove that you're God and I'll do what you want me to do. I want some evidence. You're trying to make God prove that he's God before you obey him or before you trust him. But that's not the way it works. You don't try to make God, people say this, God, if you'll show me, then I'll believe you. If you'll do this, I'll do that. You don't bargain with God. That's this idea of tempting him. If you do it, I will believe it. But that's not the case. It's not blind faith that he's after. Some people talk, God wants us to trust him with blind faith. That's nowhere in the Bible. When you go back and read the context of this statement, God had instructed them what to do. And they were disobedient to what God told them to do. And consequently, they said to God, can God provide a table in the wilderness? Questioning God, doubting God. Abraham, the Bible said, he went out by faith, not knowing whence he'd go. He didn't know where he was going. He didn't know his destination, but he did know the directive. God had told him to go out. Let me tell you what faith is. Faith is not blind faith, unsubstantiated faith. Faith is your response to God's word. Faith is your response to God's promise. Faith is your response to God's directive in your life. When God leads you to do something, you don't have to wonder if it's God's will or not. You say, if God laid it on my heart, then you do it. Right. You don't try to prove, get God to prove he's God. You don't say, and I've told people talking about putting out fleeces, this, that, and the other, and it's in the Bible. But the truth of the matter is, God wants us to walk by faith, but it's not blind faith. It is faith that is a reaction or a response to reveal truth. I trust him. I trust him. If God says go, I don't have to know how the bills are going to be paid. I don't have to know where I'm going necessarily. I just need to respond to his word by faith. And the Lord said this, you don't try to prove, jump off a building. That's stupid. That's just stupid. Because God's already got laws in place. And if God told you to walk on water, you can walk on water. Peter said, Lord, if you call me, I can go. And the Lord said, come, and he walked on the water. That's supernatural. But do you understand what he said? He said, if you call me, I can walk. And he said, come. His response was not blind faith. It was response to the directive of the Lord. And so you step out in faith knowing what God said. You may not know that consequence. You may not know where you're going. You may not know how the bills are going to be paid. But you're going to obey what he's told you to do regardless. And the results will be up to him. You don't try to make God prove he's God. You don't have to. You're not supposed to do that. That's what it means, tempting the Lord. Let me do this quickly. I apologize again for my voice. I hope you're listening. Hope the Holy Ghost of God's making it real to you. The third thing is this. Notice what he said in verse number 10. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve. Two or three observations just real quick and I'm through. Satan reveals here his true motive. He wants to be God. He wants to be worshiped. There's some strange things around. Tom showed me this the other day. We stopped to get gas, went in, and there's a drink. Now, you know, they got the little 5-hour energies and the little Red Bull or whatever it's called, you know, energy drink. And now they've come at one called the Monster. Have you ever noticed those three little green things look like claw marks? You ever wonder what they were? Well, those are Hebrew symbols. You know what the three are? Look at them, they're identical. It's 666. If you're noticing the name Monster, they've got a little cross in the O. And then when you turn it up, you're turning the cross upside down. Remember, Satan as a roaring lion walketh or stalketh us every day. He's trying every way to deceive you, every way he can to destroy you. But here he reveals his true motive. He wants you to worship him. There are people who say, well, I worship the devil. But there are two inseparable words with worship. Worship and serve. Notice what our Lord said. He said this to Satan, get thee hence, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve. Whatever you worship, you will serve. If you worship fishing, you're going to serve it. You're going to have the very best boat you can have. You're going to have the best equipment you can have. It's going to take a lot of your time. It's going to take a lot of your effort. If you worship shoes, you're going to have shoes in the closet, shoes under the bed. You're going to have shoes in the living room, dining room. You'll have shoes everywhere. You've never seen a pair of shoes you didn't like. If you paint the house, you got to have a new pair of shoes. That's got to match the house. That's exaggeration. But you understand what I'm saying? That principle, you'll worship. But now, if you worship something, you'll serve it. And if you worship the devil, you'll have to serve him. Here's the blessings, the gifts of Satan come with a very high price tag. And you can't pay it. You're going to play with something. You're going to play with the occult, play with Ouija boards. I'm not going to serve God. Let me tell you what Jesus said. He that's not with me or for me is against me. So you can't line up on both sides. You either love the Lord and serve him, or you walk according to the prince of the power of the air, Satan. There are things that you say, how in the world could somebody do that? How could a man kill his wife and two children? How could he do that? Because if you worship Satan, if you've rejected the gospel, you either worship God or you worship Satan. There's only two choices. But if you worship the devil, if you yield to him, you will serve him. He told those Pharisees, you're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. You could say, I won't do that. But God, who's a lot smarter than you are, said, if you do that, you will do his lust. No telling what he might tell you to do. You say, I'm not going to get saved. I'm not going to trust Christ. I'm going to tell you something. Rejecting Christ is your only hope of heaven. But the consequences of not trusting him are not just to be in hell for all eternity. And you say, well, I'm not hurting anybody but myself. Oh, yeah, but you are. Because if you worship the devil, if you serve the devil, if you reject Christ, him will you serve. You're going to serve him. And you're going to, there's no telling what you might do. And the consequences would be felt in all of your family and perhaps even in generations to come because of your sin and because of your rejection of Christ. You're the worship of the Lord, and him only shall thou serve. He has revealed his desire. His desire is that you would worship him, Satan, and serve him. But here's the other side of the coin. He said, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. I want you to notice just quickly one little truth. You shall worship the Lord. He is the Lord. He is the King. He is this, that, and the other. He is the Savior of the world. But will you notice that one little possessive pronoun? Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. This God's our God, the God of this Bible. How did he get to be my God? By creation? Oh, no. He made everything that's in this world. The way he got to be my God is I was born again by the grace of God. And in John it says, behold, what manner of love he showed us that we might be called the sons of God. How did he get to be a son of God? How does he get to be your God? Only by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. And whoever you worship, you will serve. Whatever you worship, you will serve. I want to ask you a question. If you want to just encapsulate in three little thoughts, the attack of Satan, number one, is has reference to the Word of God. He said, the Word of God, you live by every Word of God. The second thing is your walk. You don't tempt God. You don't try to make God prove. You be obedient to him, to whatever he shows you to, that has to do with your walk. And the last thing is this, it is your worship. Satan wants to attack you in regard to the Word of God. He wants to attack you in regard to your walk of obedience and faith. He wants to attack you in regard to your worship. Do you worship the Lord? If you worship him, you will serve him. Will you bow with me for prayer? I ask God the Holy Ghost to make real these simple truths this morning. Lord Jesus, I don't know the heart of these people gathered, but I know, our Father, that by divine providence, because of your plan, you had all of them here. Our Father, either the raspiness of my voice this morning, our Father, they might have to listen a little extra, more intently, that the Holy Ghost of God might make a truth real to them. And I pray, God, the Holy Ghost has done that. Our Father, help us to understand the reality of our enemy and help us to understand the reality of the Word of God. And our walk of faith, we don't exercise blind faith. We exercise a work of faith in response to truth. Our Father, when somebody gets saved, the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And then they respond in faith to a truth. Lord, that is that they are lost and that you love them and that you gave your Son, and they respond to that revealed truth. That's the act of faith. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, because you ask us to call. Whosoever believes in his heart, because you told us to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And our act of faith is response to your word. And then, Lord, help us to worship you and serve you. And we know the two are inseparable. If we worship you with all of our heart, mind, and soul, our service is automatic and immediate. I pray, God, the Holy Ghost to make it real. Would you stand, please, with your heads bowed and eyes are closed? Can I ask you a question? Two or three questions. Number one, how important is the Word of God to you? Do you read it? Do you study it? Do you digest it? The Lord said, man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It should be as essential to you as your daily bread. And then he said, you're not to tempt the Lord. That is, not trying to get God to prove he's God. He is God. He doesn't have to do anything for us to believe he's God. He's God. But our faith is response to what he says to us in his word. Do you worship him? When you come to this building on Sunday morning, do you worship the Lord? Have you in the last few moments been reminded of Calvary? In the last few moments, have you thought about the fact that you could have been in hell today, but God made you well enough to be here? He saved you some recently, some years ago. And because of that, you're here today to magnify him and to thank him for it. And we'll leave out here to testify of his goodness.